I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, everyone. It's Kara Golden from The Kara Golden Show, and I'm super, super excited to have my next incredibly inspiring founder, entrepreneur, total badass on the podcast today. So we have Wendy Zomner, who is the founder of a brand called Caliray. And you may know her name. You'll definitely know her brand. She was way back, not too far back, but in the
pretty far back
in the beauty industry. She co-founded a brand called Urban Decay. And if you haven't heard of Urban Decay, you should just not listen to the rest of this. No, I'm just kidding. So, definitely an incredible, incredible brand that she co-founded. And now she is founding another brand, a terrific new brand, in the clean makeup industry. And it's just a great company filled with great products as well that are super clean, super high quality. And like many entrepreneurs that I've had on the podcast, Wendy's journey is an unconventional one. She had worked in advertising and in the fitness industry, and then co-founded that great brand I just mentioned, Urban Decay. And then this year, she co-founded her company, Caliray, and she wants to bring simple outdoor makeup look of Laguna Beach, Newport Beach, where she is, as well to everyone in the country. And I'm so excited to hear her story. So thank you, Wendy, for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Kara.
Very excited. So tell me a little bit about you as I always start with the beginning, because I always feel like, you know, when you were just getting started, did you know you were going to be founding two beauty brands and doing what you're doing today?
I had no idea. I did know when I was little that I wanted to make something. Like, that was a sort of thing I liked to do as a kid. I loved making usually horrible looking jewelry out of plastic straws, things out of yarn, popsicle. And I was like, I would also ask my mom, okay, do you think I could sell this? And she's just like, no. not to put me down, but just, she's a realist. And, but I think I always had that in me to make something. And then I always watched my dad. He worked for a defense contractor. He's a relatively successful guy. I always remembered that he loved racquetball, and he wanted to open a racquetball club. And I just watched him sort of talk about it and go down the path that way and never really do it. And I think I always thought he'd just be so much happier if he'd just do that. But I think, he's a guy with three kids, and I think it's hard to take those risks, right?
So
you have all this responsibility. And so, I admire him a lot for making that selfless choice to really think about the stability for his family. But I did know that would have made him happier. And so I felt like I always had that in me a little bit. And, when I went to work for big ad agencies, I would remember riding up the elevator thinking, wow, I'm going to go sit in my gray cubicle now, So I knew that was great training, amazing training. It taught me how to be in business. It taught me so many things about presentations and pitching, and I just knew that it wasn't going to be a long-term end game for me.
What was the point when you decided that you were going to start your own company?
Well, I met Sandy Lerner. I'm going to back up two more steps, though, because my mom gave me a makeup kit. Mm-hmm. It was like the first iteration of Calvin Klein makeup. And it was this giant box of makeup. And I remember thinking, this is the best Christmas present I ever got. And I would pull pages out of magazines when we used to have magazines, and I'd tape them to my mirror, and I would recreate all of the looks mm-hmm. that you see in like different magazines. And I remember, like, I grew up in Fort Worth, Texas. And I got sent home from school in eighth grade for wearing too much makeup. And do you know how much makeup you got to have on to get sent home from school in Texas? Like, a lot. So I really always loved that self-expression and creating a new you with your face, with your own face, like this whole like mirror to the world thing you could do. And so for me, it wasn't about covering up blemishes. It was really about this self-expression. So I think that whole entrepreneur thing with my dad and then the makeup gift from my mom, and I always loved watching her put her makeup on. So I think those two things sort of combined. And I didn't know I was going to be a beauty entrepreneur to really answer the question you just asked. I ended up meeting a brilliant woman named Sandy Lerner, and Urban Decay was her idea. I mean, she started Cisco Systems. You want to talk about the ultimate female entrepreneur? I mean, this was my mentor, right? I would have never in a million years imagined that I could be part of something that broke the beauty industry, mm-hmm. right? Like we went and broke down, like back, you got to think back to the mid 90s. And basically you shop for prestige makeup at department stores. And that makeup was nice and beautifully packaged and all of that, but it was pretty dull in terms of color. It wasn't a lot of color. And then there was the drugstore, which had a lot of color, but at that time in the mid 90s, it wasn't very good quality. So we wanted to like marry this great quality makeup with fun color. Mm-hmm. And that was really the impetus for it. And I give Sandy so much credit for, you know, having been there already in the tech industry as a woman, going, well, I broke tech, why can't I break beauty? And bringing me along for the ride taught me so much.
How did you meet her?
So it was my best friend, I was living in Chicago, is my best friend who I had met through her best friend in a yoga class, in a aerobics class that I was teaching. It was her ex-fiance's business manager, right? It goes to show you, like, you never know. Like connections you make, you never know. So
that is so wild. So what year was this at, like when Urban Decay really started?
This was 1995.
Wow.
So I met Sandy in 1995 and we sold our first product in 1996, which the turnaround could never happen today.
But yeah.
We made it happen fast.
That is so wild. So, and what do you think was the hardest thing? I mean, obviously there wasn't Sephora, right? I mean, how did you get your product out there?
So this is a story in being resourceful. Like if you ask me like, what's the number one attribute you need to cultivate as an entrepreneur, it would be resourcefulness. So we had this idea for a product and a brand. I'm living in Laguna Beach with my boyfriend in this little beach shack. And his friend was a swimsuit rep and he had been out surfing and he had meetings to go to. So he calls me and he says, Wendy, can I come by and use your shower before my meetings? And I was like, sure. You know, I'm working at home, working on this kooky Urban Decay thing. And he's in my shower and I realized, oh my God, he's got every Nordstrom buyer on a list in his bag right there. And I just took a peek. And I might have just written down a few numbers off that list and put it right back where I found it. And then when he left, I started calling people. And I got the swimsuit buyers to give me the name of the cosmetics buyers. So then I had a direct line and I just started calling people. And one of the buyers in the San Diego region picked up her phone. Her name was Kimberly Heathman. And she said, well, I'm going on vacation for 2 weeks, but I'll be here until tomorrow. So you can come by. And so I was like, okay, I cleaned up all my samples. I drove down to San Diego and I gave her a pitch. And I thought it was going to be like the ad industry where you got to like go pitch the client and then go back again with changes and pitch, pitch, pitch. She pulls out an order form and starts writing. And I was like, oh my God, how am I going to fulfill this? Right. So that was really the start of it.
That is wild. And so you were eventually acquired in 2012 by L'Oreal. So that is for all entrepreneurs out there who think, you know, they're going to start a company in a few years. It's just, you know, going to get acquired. I always say it always takes much longer. I'm even surprised to hear that Urban Decay came out in 96, because I would have guessed it in the 2000s. I think when I first heard about it, maybe I saw it.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't have heard about it till the 2000s. And it's like, it's kind of a little bit of what, you know, we had quickly touched on, which was, you know, we did have to break down all these barriers. There wasn't Sephora, so I had to go to department stores. I didn't have the infrastructure that the big brands had, and there was no roadmap to success. So we made a ton of mistakes. Mm-hmm. There wasn't anyone else doing this. And so what I love to give myself credit for is breaking down all the barriers and paving the road for all of these beauty entrepreneurs to be able to like follow that same path and have success a lot more quickly. And, you know, be able to be participate in the beauty industry. And I really feel like Urban Decay helped democratize beauty. And before it was very aspirational, it was very much like, okay, these, you know, corporate people are going to hire a model and she's going to be white and blonde, even featured and thin. And she, you are going to aspire to look like her. And we're going to sell you products that make you wish you looked like her. And maybe if you use them, you might just look a little bit more like her. So it was this aspirational model. And we really took that and turned it on its head. And between Sephora, the rise of social media, and us saying, your face is a canvas. It's not about looking like her. It's about expressing yourself. We really did do this whole thing about democratizing beauty. And along the way, like I said, open the door for every other beauty entrepreneur to have their piece of the pie, which I'm thrilled about, that the beauty landscape looks so different than it did in the mid-90s, when most of us did not see ourselves in magazines or, you know, our body shapes, our types. Most of us are not supermodels. But we are all beautiful. So I just really felt like we helped change the world that way.
This episode of the Kara Golden Show is sponsored by Wix. We always want to put our best foot forward, and that means making sure that your website is where it needs to be. We all know that first impressions are everything, and making sure that your brand's website looks and works terrific is so key. When I'm visiting a website, I want to see that the site looks great and is easy to use. A bad website can really hurt a business, so it's so key to focus on making yours the best it can possibly be. That's where Wix comes in. Wix is the leading drag-and-drop website creation platform where you can build professional websites easily and quickly. Wix is the do-it-yourself for websites. Easily create a great website without the agency price tag and with no coding background required. Whether you are looking to create a website for your business, side hustle, or simply want to elevate your personal brand, Wix is the answer and can help you build the site that you will be proud of. Wix works great with all the tools you'll need to stand apart for SEO and payment solutions to boot. Want to get started? Head over to Wix.com and create your website today. That's Wix.com to join over 200 million people already using Wix by heading to Wix.com to create your website today. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Check them out at BetterHelp.com/Kara Golden. The new year is finally in full swing, and if you're anything like me, you are working hard to keep up with those New Year's resolutions. I'm continuing my exercise regime, attempting to get more sleep too, and making sure that I'm investing in my health. We all want to rock it this year, especially after the crazy couple of years that we've all had. But is there something preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp can connect you with a licensed professional counselor quickly and easily in a safe, private online space. BetterHelp is not a crisis line. It's professional counseling done securely online, and it is available worldwide. You can connect with a therapist in under 48 hours and send a message at any time of the day. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's affordable, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Why invest in anything else and not your mind? This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and the Kara Golden Show listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/Kara Golden. That's betterhelp.com/Kara Golden with an I. How did you get the word out about your product when you first started? I mean, you were trying to get distribution, but I mean, nobody called them influencers, right? You
didn't I did what I call like the earliest form of social media. I, through, you know, a friend of a friend, met these young women in New York who were kind of the it girls, the party girls. And I would send them boxes of product and some cash, and they would basically go out and like hand the product out to their cool influence tastemaker friends.
Smart.
So between that and then I would go to the hardware store and I was like, you know, I know these people are getting like press release after press release. I can only imagine what editors were getting on their desks every day that all looked the same. And I certainly can't compete with these sort of elevated, beautiful things. So what can I go like make that's going to be crazy and kooky? And I remember going to the hardware store and making press kits out of like aluminum flashing and caution tape and sending them to New York and just looking on the masthead and calling people and going, will you meet with me? And being able to like weasel my way into Condé Nast and, you know, pitch, sell. And get people to cover us. And that's really how we got it started, was through, you know, just like boots on the ground press. And, you know, cause I didn't know that like PR firms existed. So boots on the ground press and these like trying to find my own kind of influencers.
I love it. So did you ever hear, no, we're not really interested. You're, you know, you're not a big enough brand. Did you feel like you had walls put up in front of you? And how did you get over those times?
Well, I felt like, you know, from a press standpoint, they were fortunately kind of craving something new. Mm-hmm. We were never going to get a big feature like, you know, one of the big brands we're going to get. But we might get something on a like beauty roundup page or something that like featured the latest, greatest new shades. We might, you know, like black is the new nail polish shade. So like, let's show you a page of black nail polish. We might make it to that. So I was just hustling for whatever little bit of press we could get. And so I felt like I didn't really get told no that much. I mean, I got us into Vogue. So,
amazing.
You know, and who would have thought a brand called Urban Decay would have made it into Vogue?
I love it. That's so great. So this last year, you started a brand called Cali Ray. And so tell us a little bit about that. What inspired you to decide that the world needed a new brand, a different brand? To share a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, you know, number one, I'm a little older and wiser, just looking at the world a little differently. And a couple of things happened. One, I think we opened like 60 countries with Urban Decay, and I was traveling all over the world doing press trips and opening these markets for Urban, which was really exciting. And the thing I would get asked about a lot was California. And, you know, do you surf? Do you drink kale smoothies? Do you do yoga every day? Like, I would get all these questions about, like, is everyone an entrepreneur? And I don't think it was about, like, everyone wanted to move there. But I think there's this sort of, like, archetypal, like, idea of, like, freedom and carefree that really resonates with people no matter where they live. And I think they wanted to understand that a little more. And so I was like, this is really interesting that this really resonates with people. The other thing that happened was I went on this amazing surf trip with my family. We were surfing by ourselves on this beautiful little wave off this gorgeous island. And, you know, I'd been surfing for like 3 hours, a little tired. I paddle in and I decide I'm going to sit on this island until we're ready to leave. And I get to the island and it's covered on the interior of the island in plastic trash. And so I just said to myself, oh my God, this is terrible. And I felt like I had been a giant offender in the beauty space of creating plastic trash. And I thought, well, what could I do? So between the sort of like California stuff in my head and this idea that as an, you know, as I was getting older and I started to have children, like I wanted everything for them to be clean. I built a house that was non-off-gassing and clean. I made the Urban Decay offices when I built them. I made sure the workstations were made out of this particle board that was non-off-gassing formaldehyde, no off-gassing formaldehyde rugs. Like everything was super clean. And Urban was one of the first brands to take parabens out of their products. We didn't get credit for it at the time, but clean was starting to be a bigger and bigger idea. So I wanted to create something that was, that embraced this like, the like kooky Cali weirdness and fun, clean, and sustainable. So it doesn't sound like, oh, every brand's clean now. It's easier to be clean now than it was, but it's not easy. And being sustainable in a big way is really difficult. But we made a mascara and the tube is 100% upcycled ocean plastic.
It's amazing.
And we decorated it so that it can be recycled again. And we have a recycling partner because, you know, unlike your packaging, our packaging is too small to go into the curbside recycling stream, which is why beauty packaging is so detrimental. All of that little tiny plastic is a problem. Mm-hmm. Bigger plastic is not such a big, you know, it's a problem, but you know, there's a solvable solution in place that people are working towards. So we had to find a recycling partner that could take all of our little beauty packages and put them back into the recycling stream. So there's a lot of things to be done in this space. And we just felt like clean beauty is awesome. And there's a lot of people doing it, which I think is great to have a lot of choices for the customer. And we just felt like there was something missing though. A lot of times clean beauty tends to be a little quiet. And as you know, with Urban, our brand is kind of kooky and loud. And I just still wanted that for Cali Ray. I wanted it to be like fun. And I wanted you to just kind of, you know, go into this like fun portal that brought you, that transported you to the West Coast, no matter how you wanted to experience it.
I love it. What is the number one Cali Ray product?
Well, Kara, we only have two products right now, so more to come, but we just launched with a mascara and three shades of eye pencil. So
I love
the other thing that's a little different about ours is that we made these super high performance. A lot of times, like a clean mascara is something that doesn't really last all day or give great volume. And ours is a clean tubing mascara, which means you can fall in the pool, you can cry, you can get rained on, you can just have oily eyelids and you will have zero smudges at the end of the day. So I like to say it's a zero smudge formula.
It's great. And your pencils are awesome. You sent me some that were so good and they're soft. They don't rip your eyelid apart when you're putting them on either. So they're really, really terrific. So, well, this is so exciting that you decided to, why did you start with eyes? I'm so curious.
Well, I feel like that's an area where I have the most expertise is eyes. That's what Urban's really known for, is its shadows and its palettes and its 24/7 pencils. And so I wanted to start with that. And I also felt like these were products that almost every woman uses, mm-hmm. right? So I wanted to tap into, you know, everyone pretty much uses mascara. And I wanted to make the number one complaint I would always hear is like, oh, I hate it when my mascara smudges on my lower lids at the end of the day. So I really wanted it to be something that people could wear and feel like, okay, I have this clean formula, it's in this great sustainable package, and I'm not going to have smudges. I'm going to have a great result. And the same thing with the pencil. I feel like most people do something with an eyeliner in either a small way or a big way every single day, even if it's just a little smudgy line on the top of your lid. And so I felt like pencils would be another, you know, kind of 1-2 punch for people.
Beyond the packaging, I totally agree, and the cleanliness of what's inside as well for clean beauty. What do you think are the biggest changes as, you know, the Gen Z generation is coming up? Obviously, they're the ones that are they're huge makeup consumers as well as millennials. But what do you see as like the biggest trend right now?
I think for Gen Z, the biggest trend is transparency. Mm-hmm. And being, you know, having a point of view and a cause. Like, I think that the days are over of being able to not be completely transparent with your customer. I think they're demanding it. They want to know, and they have the internet and they're good at it and they can dig up a lot of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. They can go in and they're willing to be little sleuths and uncover truths. So you might as well just be straight up with them. Mm-hmm. And I have two Gen Zers myself, so I kind of understand them, right? At least I feel like I do. I mean, it doesn't mean I want to watch TikTok all day like they do, but I do understand like what they're driving towards and what is important to them. So, you know, we really just try to be really transparent. Like on the mascara, we'll tell you the tube and the stem of the mascara are the 100% ocean plastic. We did make the brush out of nylon fibers. I tried a castor seed oil brush. I couldn't get it to work. I'm still working on it. And I'm going to try to make the brush more sustainable, but I haven't done it yet. And that's all I mean is like, I don't think anyone's expecting perfection. Mm-hmm. They're just expecting truth and transparency.
Well, and I think also being able, I mean, here's another thing that I think is also the case is that if you're able, you need to do your homework as a CEO and as a founder and be able to speak to it. So you don't have to have all the answers to it, but I think gone are the days where you can say, oh, that's someone else's department, right? You really have to be able to speak to kind of where the company is going and it might not be perfect, but here's what you've learned. So I think that's absolutely right. I have a few Gen Zers in my house as well. And I think that it's very much the case that you have to be able to speak to it. And I really do believe that, look, I think beauty has changed so much. And even through wearing masks, somebody reminded me that lipstick was always, who was it that Chanel had always said, like, nothing changes during any crisis in the world, everyone will always, you know, wear lipstick. Well, when everyone's wearing masks.
I actually think it was Leonard Lauder.
Or it was Leonard. Okay. That. So yeah. that's you know, wasn't really the case as much during this time, although I know I bought plenty of lipsticks along the way, but it's definitely there's lots of changes in the beauty industry for sure. And I think that the more natural, the more, you know, looking at your own characteristics and your own face versus trying to match someone else's, your own individual you, right, is really important. So, but I think ingredients and things like that are much more important than they were. I also just think that the story, right? I think that storytelling is such a big piece of brands today. What are your thoughts on that?
So I have always been a big believer in storytelling. And I do think, you know, the seeds of Urban Decay really did start this trend of, you know, self-expression and being yourself, right? And not trying to conform your face to someone else. And I think the storytelling has always been part of what we did as that brand. And I think it's becoming more and more important as part of brands. Like, people want to know the backstory. Like, people are fascinated with your story. Like, you gave up diet soda to like, and created this amazing brand because of your own personal experience. And I think, you know, I had a personal experience when I was 16 that indirectly led me to this point of view on makeup, which was, you know, I was coming out of church and the, you know, pastor is like, oh, you know, you've got so much makeup on. I just hate it when you hide behind that mask of makeup. And I was like, oh my gosh, hiding at all. I'm showing you who I am. I'm like being really clear with you. And I remember having that thought. And I think that's what we need to be doing with brands is like telling the backstory And also telling the story of each product through the product, through every single little thing you do with the product. I think there's ways to tell the story and bringing people into your brand, whether it's influencers, employees, whatever, and like having them be part of the story too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that makes so much sense. So you founded two brands. What do you think are the biggest lessons that you learned from your journey and that you're doing things differently this go around?
Yeah. So I would say the first big lesson, and I've been telling people this for years because I realized it really early on. I just thought, oh my gosh, if I just create this amazing creative product and I've got some people to sell it, it's just like, I didn't understand how important finance and operations were, right? Mm-hmm. Like I just thought, oh, I'm a creative person, it's a creative business, we have this great product, we have this great brand, people love it. And the fact is it's a business. And so I think a lot of times people in creative fields sometimes forget that you really need to remember that like cash flow is super important. Mm-hmm. So you've got to be able to, like, it looks like you're successful on paper and yet there's nothing in your bank account. Like, how is that possible? Right. I needed to understand that. And I know that seems like a baby step lesson, but if someone's listening who is really just getting off the ground, I highly encourage you to have a backstop or a partner in your business that's willing to really take on that role of watching how things operate, planning, forecasting, making responsible business decisions, mm-hmm. in addition to all of those awesome creative branding decisions you have to make. So that's number one. And I think number two, as I go into, you know, round two of my, you know, beauty career, and I did that. I brought in people who are more senior than I would have the first time around, right? I'm less intimidated. So I would tell people always hire the most senior person you can afford or maybe can't even afford because they are worth their weight in gold if they're a good fit versus bringing on, you know, someone at the beginning, you think like, oh, I'm on a budget. It'd be better if I just had a bunch of little junior people like bodies to get stuff done, but you're actually better off, I think, hiring at a more senior level and really having that experience to make good decisions from the beginning that are going to set you up for success.
So, so true. So what, are you raising money on this go around?
No. We have some friends and family that wanted to be a part of it, but it's a passion project and we definitely are building a brand. But just trying to do it grassroots.
I love it. That's so great. So how about supply chain? How do you feel that? That's like the hot topic of
the hot topic.
The world.
It's the hot topic. Well, I can walk out my front door and count the ships that are sitting waiting to get in San Pedro and the LA ports. So I do visually understand how big the supply chain issue is. Fortunately, we started planning this a long time ago, and we did anticipate that we might have problems. And so we placed POs very early, way earlier than we thought we needed to, which was hard, right? Because sometimes it costs you money to place that PO right off the bat. And we just decided to bite the bullet and do it early. I will tell you, the deliveries are still way later than I thought they'd be, even placing them early. So it's just about planning ahead.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much. So many important lessons here. And where do people find you and also Callie Rae? Where's the best place for people to pick up some of the great eye products that you have now? And you said more coming later.
More products are coming. I'm really excited about what is to come in the next couple of months. Right now you can buy all of our products on CallieRaeBeauty.com, but you can also, this is hot off the press. You are the first person to hear it from me, but Sephora.com. So you'll be able to pick it up at Sephora.com.
That's so great. I'm very, very excited to hear that. And I love walking into Sephora. They're so terrific. So, well, thank you, Wendy. And you have a great Instagram. account as well. So everybody definitely follow Wendy. You have a personal one as well as Callie Reyes.
I do. So we have one that's just Callie Ray, and then mine is Wendy Zomner.
Yeah, they're both really, really great. So, well, thank you again. And thanks, everybody.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks, everybody, for listening. And definitely, if you haven't already subscribed to The Kara Golden Show, we're here every Monday and Wednesday with amazing stories from founders and CEOs and amazing brands. Definitely subscribe on Apple or Spotify or your favorite podcast. And if you haven't picked up a copy of my book that came out, I can't even believe it, a year ago, Undaunted, Overcoming Doubts and Doubters, it's really is about the journey of building a hint and so much more and kind of being able to figure out how to move forward, get through challenging times, and definitely pick up a case of hint or a bottle of hint at your local store if you haven't tried it or if you're just thirsty as well. And please follow me on all social channels at Kara Golden. And thank you everyone for listening. Have a great rest of the week. Before we sign off, I want to talk to you about fear. People like to talk about fearless leaders, but achieving big goals isn't about fearlessness. Successful leaders recognize their fears and decide to deal with them head on in order to move forward. This is where my new book, Undaunted, comes in. This book is designed for anyone who wants to succeed in the face of fear, overcome doubts, and live a little undaunted. Order your copy today at undauntedthebook.com and learn how to look your doubts and doubters in the eye and achieve your dreams. For a limited time, you'll also receive a free case of Hint Water. Do you have a question for me or want to nominate an innovator to spotlight? Send me a tweet at Kara Golden and let me know. And if you like what you heard, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow along with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Kara Golden. Thanks for listening.